Now, your noontime check-in with today's business world and more. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Bertrand.
It is 12:11 as we sit here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on this Friday afternoon, St. Patrick's Day. Just around the corner, we'll talk a little bit later in the program with Tom Gimbel. You know, he's the CEO at LaSalle Network. And I think Tom is going to phone it in today because they've got their big March Madness party that they never really invite me to. So we'll talk to Tom. That's not true, actually. They always do and I never go. In the second half hour, too, we'll talk Texas. Sandra Block is the senior editor at Kiplinger's Personal Finance, and she's got some ideas about filing your own taxes, what software to use, and things like that. So that's coming up. Also, we'll go to South by Southwest in the second half hour with WGN's Michael Heidemann. But we start on Fridays with Andrea Haynes, who is the editor at Blue Sky Innovation. Andrea, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Thanks, Steve. Great to be here. And TGIF.
Yeah, it is. I'm ready for one. It's been a long week for me. I don't know quite why. Okay, big news today. Is it big news? Apple sends out one of these mysterious invitations and they want us all to go to Lane Tech in May?
Yeah, it's kind of cool. You know, Apple always does these little mystery things. Typically, it's around a product announcement or some kind of big national news. And the one that the media was invited to today is at Chicago's own Lane Tech College Prep High School. So that's going to be Tuesday, March 27th.
I said May. It's next week.
Yeah, it's coming up. It's week after next, I guess, okay. Right? So, yeah, about 10 days away. We will see what Apple has in store for the world, and we'll be finding out, in this case, from Chicago.
The invitation says creative new ideas for teachers and students.
Yeah, so they do education-focused stuff, of course. There are some product rumors out there, so there's some things that might show up with some better prices than we're used to, including the iPad and the MacBook Air, which are coming in maybe at lower prices. And the artwork sort of has the, you know, it's kind of a stylized piece of artwork, and it's got the Apple Pencil. So there's thought that maybe there'll be an updated version of that, which is like a drawing tool that you use with the iPad.
So we're deciphering the art on the invitation.
There was an interesting font conversation going on online about it. Like, wow. People seize on these things, of course, to speculate about what might be coming.
When are they going to just make all of our textbooks available on iBook?
Yeah, that's not there yet, right? I mean, I was just seeing something about someone complaining about their kid using a textbook that was, you know, it's some really out of date thing in it. And you think that should be a priority, right?
But we'll just have to wait.
We'll have to wait on that.
Do we know who's coming in? Is Tim Cook coming in?
They haven't specifically said, but typically you would expect that. So that could happen.
Bennett, book Tim Cook for a week from...
Well, he might come right next door here to the Apple store too, right? I would imagine if I were in town and I were him, I'd be wanting to check out my new store.
So there, Bennett. It'll be easy. Just do it. Producer Bennett Wakenight, who's, by the way, celebrating the Loyola Ramblers win.
Oh, that's so exciting. Everyone's talking about that.
I want to talk about Blue Apron. You guys have a story about Blue Apron, which fascinates me. So they were this delivery kit company. They would send you 4 or 5 meals a week. And then they went public and their stock took a nosedive, and now they want to go into brick and mortar stores?
Yeah, so they're feeling like the subscription model might have its hurdles for people, right? You have to like order in advance, decide the number of meals you want for the week, all these things that are hard maybe to do. And then obviously you have to get a delivery and you're getting perishable food, so that has its issues. So they're like, what if we get in front of customers in retail stores? Which I know you have some thoughts on that, because that's not exactly a new thing either.
So they had, 746,000 customers at the end of the year. That's down, more than 130,000 from the year before. So they're losing people.
Lots more competition.
So if I'm going to go to the grocery store, though, there are so many ways to eat out of the grocery store. You can buy the raw ingredients, but they've got so much ready-to-made food now that I don't know if this will help them. Or, I mean, I hope they succeed, but I don't know who's going to go there. And, maybe they will buy a kit to eat.
Yeah, it's a little bit hard to envision. I feel like it appeals to me because it does take out the planning and the delivery part, which to me is a little bit of a hurdle.
So you can just go there and say, I like the meals, but what strikes
me? And, you're prepping the meal. I think that's a little bit different. You're not necessarily buying a pre-made meal, but you're buying the ingredients. You know, you cook it yourself. Right. I think that still appeals to people. I could see that working.
So are they going to abandon the subscription?
They're not going to abandon the subscription. And, maybe it hooks people into subscribe, right? Maybe it does get it in front of people that kind of don't want to go through that hurdle of the sign up and deal with that. Maybe if you get a little bit hooked on it, then it makes you more likely to get a subscription.
Because it seems like the beauty of the subscription is even if you don't eat the food, you're still paying Blue Apron for it. So it's not their problem if you don't, you know, end up going through with it. Where if you go to the store, you're probably only going to buy what you need.
That's true. So, yeah, it depends on which side you're looking at there. But ultimately, if people were just wasting it, like, they're not going to come back, right? So you want your customer to be happy and getting what they need.
All right. And is that in the stores now, or it's coming up?
It's coming. And they haven't even said which stores yet. So this is kind of more of a TBD. That's to be determined, right? I don't want to start using too much lingo here.
That's one of the only ones I know.
TBD on, like, where exactly, which stores they'll be in. And some stores, like Walmart, like other stores, are already doing this. So they're going to have to find their outlets.
Okay, well, it's cool. It's a cool story because they were certainly a leader. Went public with a big splash, and they're trying to figure out a way to make it work now.
Trying to find their way.
Speaking of trying to find their way, Snap is in trouble with celebrities, right? Rihanna called them out now?
Snap has now been called out by Rihanna.
Right.
You know, so they ran an ad. It wasn't their ad, but they ran an ad on their site that was for a game called Would You Rather, which many people have probably heard of, the analog version,
right.
The non-digital version of that game.
I'll say Rihanna.
So the unfortunate thing is this ad had a big picture of Rihanna, a big picture of Chris Brown, and said, like, would you rather slap Rihanna or punch Chris Brown? Eek, right?
Bad, yeah,
because
bad
Rihanna's, people might remember, probably 8 or so years ago now, was a victim of domestic violence at the hands of Chris Brown. So she didn't find it all that funny. She went to Instagram and posted about it, and the stock took a dive.
That's amazing to me that she complained and the stock really took a hit.
It did. It took something like $1 billion value off paper. You know, now it's gone back up a little bit, but it wasn't good. And it was an interesting week for Snap because on the more positive side, or just, you know, there was a forum to show what it can do with the national school walkout, because kids that age use Snap. And so as all these kids were walking out of schools, this being the gun violence protest on Wednesday, Snap was getting some positive attention because you see how the movement was spreading across social media.
Right.
You were able to go on Snap and see this covered really through the eyes of the students that were doing it. So that was Wednesday. And then Thursday, you had this other...
Real quick, we're almost out of time.
Sure.
But Red Eye, you're in charge of content for Red Eye, and I would imagine it's all about St. Patrick's
Day. It's all about St. Patrick's Day this week. So we got some fun stuff, lots of useful stuff about if you want to be out partying this weekend, where you can go, who's got specials.
Yeah.
But we did a fun thing where we asked, using Harkin, which is a Chicago startup, we used their service to ask readers what they wanted to know about St. Patrick's Day. So it allowed us to do some different kind of coverage because the readers had different questions than things we might have come up with.
I like that. All right, check it out, the Red Eye this week.
Yeah.
Andrea Haynes, thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Steve. Have a great weekend.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. We'll go to an NCAA tournament party.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Bertrand, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
It is 12:23 here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. The Dow Jones Industrial Average up 119 points so far in the day. The NASDAQ up 3 and the S&P 500 up 7. All right, Tom Gimbel is the CEO of LaSalle Network, and he comes by most Fridays, give or take, and he joins us today via phone line. Tom, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Mr. B, always good to be with you.
It doesn't sound very rowdy back there. What's going on?
Well, I went into a room and I closed the door. Trying to be respectful of you and the listeners.
Well, in preparation, I just checked the pool that I happen to be involved in. I don't know if I can say that it's a pool of WGN workers, but it is. 27 of us. And, well, I'm proudly in 21st place so far.
Let me tell you, I thankfully I did a second pool with my children.
You guys,
First one, I had Arizona winning it all.
Well, I did have Arizona with another win, so that's not been good. Andrea, who is just here, Andrea Haynes from Blue Sky, she is leading the Red Eye pool. She wanted to make sure everyone knew that.
I'm sure she does.
But the fact is, today, it's really these 2 days, right? Today and yesterday are days when, a lot of offices, there might not be that much work getting done, or better put, not as much work as typical. And, you know, and I see more and more now people saying that's a good idea, just go with the flow.
Well, I like to think we were on the forefront of that, Steve,
yeah.
and as you know, it's it's one of those things. You got to figure out a way to incorporate it into your culture and to say it's the same thing as the day after the Super Bowl. And people, you know, people are going to be tired. People are going to want to watch the games. People have jobs to do. And it's in a world where we talk about a lack of micromanagement, and that's what employees want to be empowered and flexible schedules and work-life balance. And the fact that there's still companies that try to make it that March Madness doesn't exist is ludicrous to me. We've got to show people we respect them and realize that we're not running a jail. We're running a business, and people are human beings, and let them have some fun.
I kind of got ahead of myself, but you're not here today because you throw pretty much a day-long March Madness party for your employees and all your clients on this day.
Exactly. So we have about 200 local staff in Chicagoland area, and they all come down to our Chicago office. And then we had about 850 RSVPs from clients and vendors and partners who are coming through as well. And we run it from 11 in the morning until 7 at night. And we have wings and corned beef for St. Patrick's Day and chili cook-off and all that kind of good stuff.
Let me know next year. I'll try to make it by.
You know, one of these days, maybe you'll accept an invitation.
Kimball is so generous, inviting me to all of his parties, and I'm just such a homebody.
I know where you live. I'm going to find you one day.
So are you shut down today? I mean, I would imagine you're still getting some work done.
No, we actually host it at our office, and so we have our staff. They kind of rotate between doing some work, wandering around with our clients, and people are literally standing. We have TVs all over the office. People may be working, and a client may be next to them. They stand up after making a phone call or doing what have you, and or sending an email, and then they do it. You know what? We empower our staff. We respect them. They do what they need to do, and they also know how to have fun.
Okay, I want you to reveal yourself a little bit, because from what I know of you or pick up from you, you know, you're all about this culture and fun and games and parties like that. But I think you expect a lot from your workers, too. Right?
I mean, push them hard. Absolutely.
You do push them hard. So there's a balance in all of this.
Our people go really, really hard, and they work really hard, and we give them a lot of public and private recognition, and it's an incentive-driven business. But what we say is if you work really hard and you work with other people that want to work really hard, then it's a fun culture. If you have people, some that work really hard and some that really don't want to, then it starts to become a negative culture. And so it's being careful on who you hire, making sure you exit people that don't have the right attitude, because not everybody wants it. Some people don't.
Right, right.
Some people just want a job, and that's fine. But we're a company that really emphasizes careers, and you get out what you put in.
Tom Gimbel, listen, have a great time. Tell everyone I said hello, and thanks for the invitation.
Absolutely. You're always welcome. And happy St. Patrick's Day tomorrow to you.
Now, your noontime check-in with today's business world and more. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Bertrand.
All right. The weekend is just ahead. That means for many of us, it'll be corned beef, cabbage, and the IRS. Yes, the IRS. Sandra Block is on a phone line. She's the senior editor at Kiplinger's Personal Finance and is here to talk a little, I don't know, corned beef or taxes. Sandra, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Thank you for having me.
I suppose we should stick to the taxes, right?
Yes.
We're about a month away. In fact, this weekend will mark the one-month period we have left to file our taxes. And I would imagine this is sort of crunch time. People are just starting to give it a good look.
That's right. And, you know, the one thing I always tell people, if you know that the IRS owes you money, if you're going to get a refund, you can always file for an extension. And it's automatic, and that gives you until October to file. So if you're really, really not ready, that's probably the smartest thing to do, because that way you can avoid making last-minute mistakes. But yes, tax day is April 17th this year, so we're coming up on it.
You know, we're in an era of disruption where the old ways aren't necessarily the current ways, and I would imagine that it really plays out when it comes to tax preparation, that people who used to go to an accountant or somewhere else to do it are now doing it on their own, right? Good idea, bad idea?
It's a good idea for a lot of people. I really can't justify paying someone to do your taxes if you file a 1040 EZ or a 1040A, because not only is there a lot of tax preparation software out there, but there's a lot of free tax preparation software out there for people with simple returns. So certainly if you have a simple return, you shouldn't pay someone. And even if your return is a little more complicated, maybe you deduct your mortgage interest and charitable contributions, if you're willing to put in the time, you can certainly do it yourself.
Yeah, and it's a good point because I have two kids who are of tax-paying age but not quite adulthood yet, and I file their taxes every year, do theirs, and you go to the IRS.gov, right, and they have recommendations for free filing. You just fill out the software and you're done.
That's right. You can go to IRS Free File, and they offer a whole bunch of tax preparation programs that if you meet the income standards, you can file for free. And the other option is just go directly to TurboTax and H&R Block and TaxAct. They all have free versions for simple returns, at least for the federal. Sometimes you have to pay for the state. But they kind of want to get you in their system before you start making money. Right. So there's no reason to pay if you have a simple tax return.
It's so funny you say that because, right, I get emails then from those filers all year long reminding me to come back to them again this year. I have a pretty complicated tax situation, but I still use TurboTax. I spend up a little bit, get the assistance, and I'm better than pleased, I think. I think I'm very confident that I'm getting the job done and getting it done in my own time.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it depends on your, first of all, your organizational skills. But basically, you know, the hardest part to me of tax preparation is having all the documents that you need. And hiring someone doesn't help you there. You know, your
right.
tax return is only as good as the information that you put into it. So if you're already pretty organized as far as your documents, you really can go pretty high, you know, go pretty sophisticated with these tax preparation programs and do it yourself.
All right. So a lot of talk this year, obviously, about taxes and the new tax law and the implications there. But I suppose it's important not to be confused with the new law and the old law, right? We're filing pretty much under the old law. Did anything with the new tax law change how we file this year?
Not much, and that's, I think, people need to be aware of, because you may have heard talk about how, you know, the standard deduction is going to double and a lot fewer people itemize and tax rates are going down, and that's all true, but that doesn't affect the 2017 tax return. So if your tax situation didn't change last year, you're going to pretty much do the same thing you did this year as you did last year. The old rules still apply. There are a couple things around the edges. One of the things that changed is that they lowered the threshold for claiming the medical expense deduction from 10% to 7.5% of your adjusted gross income. Most people don't claim this deduction because you really have to have a lot of unreimbursed medical expenses to be eligible. But if you did, and I would say that particularly applies to anyone who has a parent or a spouse in long-term care or had catastrophic medical expenses, that's worth paying attention to. That did change, but pretty much everything else is the same.
What sorts of things should we be paying attention to maybe that we're not aware of? I mean, something that if we do it year after year that we might be overlooking or something just to keep our eye on this year?
Well, I always tell people, you know, most people know if they itemize, they can deduct their charitable contributions. But I think people overlook some sort of parts of that. They may not realize that, for example, if you gave household goods or clothes to a charity last year, you can deduct the fair market value of those items. You can also deduct that. You can't, if you volunteer, you can't deduct the value of your time, but you can deduct your gas mileage. You can deduct if you bought food for a soup kitchen, you can deduct those expenses. So, you know, make sure you take full advantage of your charitable gifts. And the other thing is, I always tell people, if you had any kind of part-time job or side gig, there are so many expenses that are deductible, and you really need to be aware of those. And that may be a case where it might be worth hiring someone or
someone who knows, yeah,
tax software program to make sure you're not overlooking any of your deductible expenses.
You know, we donate a lot of household goods. That's just one of the things we do, and I love it for taxes. But I'm always unsure about how to claim the value, and I know there's software out there for that too, which I should rely on. Sometimes I feel like the software has an inflated value of my junk, and I worry about that a little bit.
Yeah, and again, you know, the software is a guide, but one of the things that, you know, there is a certain amount of judgment because you have to decide whether the things what kind of condition the things that you contributed were in. You know, I think it does require a little bit of guesswork and judgment. As you said, programs like TurboTax and H&R Block do have, guides and tax deductible. It's deductible.
Right, it's deductible like is one, right.
You can also go, I think, the Salvation Army. If you go to their website, they have a guide. And you kind of, you just kind of have to use your own judgment as to, and the other thing is you can just go to someplace like eBay and see what similar things, for example, if you're giving away books,
right,
what those books are selling for.
I never thought of that. That's a great point. Sandra Block is the senior editor, Kiplinger's Personal Finance. Sandra, great to talk to you today. Thanks very much.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
This is the Wintrust Business Minute.
Got a minute? Good, because I've got the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing the news, providing input, and breaking down the stories that matter to the world of business. Change after 70 years of business would be hard, but it's likely to happen eventually, and that's what's happening to Chicago-based hardware store True Value. They've agreed to sell the majority stake in their company to a DC-based private equity firm. Don't worry, it likely won't change much to the stores and what they offer, just giving the owner some financial flexibility, and that will be big for the 4,400 stores across 58 countries they operate in. If a company that's been operating for 70 years can make this big a change, I bet your company can too. Just look at Eat Purely, the meal delivery app that's moving their headquarters to the West Loop, 1709 West Washington to be exact. They're looking to create a space that allows them to produce more than 10,000 meals per day as they expand their Midwest business. The Chicago-based meal delivery company is also partnering with local chefs and restaurants to create exclusive meals sold on the app. Man, am I hungry. Tune in tomorrow for all of your up-to-date business news on WGN Radio.
Back to Steve Bertrand and the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
It's 12:52 on this Friday afternoon as we ease toward the weekend and the big St. Patrick's Day festival celebration in Chicago. Festival's on my mind because Michael Heidemann, former producer for this program and the producer now for Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, is all about South by Southwest, and he tends to go down there every year, and he's certainly down there this year and joins us on the phone line. Michael, welcome back to your old show, The Biz Lunch.
Hey, Steve, big fan of the show. I heard that there was a little bit of coldness down in Chicago, so hopefully I could bring some sunlight into the segment here, speaking to you from Austin.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, because in my promo, I think I said that Elon Musk was talking about the dark ages, and I was hoping you were going to be able to find a silver lining. Musk spoke, what, earlier this week and talked about doom?
Yeah, that's correct. He gave a kind of a surprise keynote speech, part of the interactive portion of this festival, and everyone jam-packed into the Moody Theater, which is the ACL Theater here in Austin, and he spoke a lot about the doom on what's going to happen with artificial intelligence and how artificial intelligence is supposedly more dangerous than North Korea right now. He's been saying that it needs to be government. The government needs to start regulating it a little bit more for us to get a grasp on it. He's said he was at the edge of artificial intelligence and he sees what's coming. So that was interesting to hear about. But I'm more excited just to hear about what's going to happen when we're going to travel to Mars and open up some pizza shops.
He's going to save the world by traveling to Mars, right?
Yeah, he mentioned that if we're on the brink of World War III, or if that happens, that space might be the only answer. So I don't know if we're going to be able to make that trip, but we'll see. He's supposedly our Einstein right now, so it was very interesting to hear him speak.
Well, you know, and there's truth to that. Like, he could be way off, or he might not be, and so he certainly has had some great successes and has proven that he thinks in an innovative way, so... I'm not going to dismiss what he says out of hand. I'm going to at least give a little bit. Hey, I was on Instagram last night. What did I saw you embracing Dick Cavett. What was that about?
Well, yeah, me and Dick Cavett go way back to the early 60s, yeah. And it was good to see him again. He actually is putting out a new documentary called Ali and Cavett, Tale of the Tapes, when he's going to speak about his relationship, unorthodox relationship, with Muhammad Ali that he gained over the years. And before we got our photo taken, he wanted to give me one last squeeze before I left, because I think he's just a huge WGN radio fan, to be honest.
Or in the Business Lunch, I would think. Did he bring it up?
And of course. Yeah, he wanted me to say hi to you and Bennett, and hope all is well.
Let me ask you this, though. He's got to be older than dirt. And he's and he looks like he did in 1975.
Yes, he did. He is. I think he has to be in late 80s right now. And what he's doing is he's still pretty sharp. To be honest, some of the questions went a little bit long because he got a little lost in his train of thought. Also, he has a wealth of stories to tell. So my 15-minute interview actually turned into a 33-minute interview. But it was great to sit down with the legend. He's been through it all.
Let me tell you something, Michael. That's the way he answers questions. I mean, you know, he's always sort of been that way. So I don't know if that's much different or not. Hey, one of the things you highlighted here is this HAM, Health Alliance for Austin Musicians. And this has come up in other places as well. Well, you know, there's Shift Gig here, and there are other these movements toward finding people who work sort of as independent contractors and trying to figure out a way that they can leverage for benefits. And in Austin, they're working on health insurance for musicians. Tell me a little bit about that.
Exactly. And that's very interesting you bring that up, because Austin's known as the local music capital of the world, which I feel like Chicago should be right on its tail at the moment. But the one thing we're lacking that they have is HAM, Health Alliance for Austin Musicians, and they provide access to affordable health care to Austin's low-income working musicians, and they focus on prevention and wellness. So a lot of these people who are playing on the streets, a lot of buskers throughout the city, are now able to get health care through this corporation, or not corporation, this organization, through these really, really great people who are looking out for musicians in the city. And actually, they have a Chicago connection, Dan Ivankovich, who is a great, great doctor in Chicago who does bone crushers. He works with them to provide health care to low-income people as well. So I think this is the new way to be. If you're going to be able, if you're going to try to do some global good, start with the lowest and work your way up. So they do a really good thing.
We got to fly, but I know that you're probably collecting a lot of info for Sound Sessions, your podcast coming up in the weeks ahead, right?
Absolutely. Check us out on Sound Sessions on WGN Radio. I'll be able to share all my stuff there. And Steve, it was a pleasure talking to you again.
Hey, you know I love talking to you. Have a great trip, okay? Enjoy every minute.
Thanks, Steve.